Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are continuing the book Once Upon a Journey, Volume 2 by Rabbi Zalman Ruderman. We are up to Chapter 64, and it is called The Mysterious Scholar. This chapter is dedicated to Chavale and Shmulek from England. Towards evening, Rav Adam left the city of Slutsk. About 20 residents of the city left with him. Who were these men? Although they had lived and worked in Slutsk for a long time, their neighbors and friends had no idea that they too were in fact Nistarim. They had secretly prepared the people of Slutsk for the visit of Rav Adam, the Baal Shem of Rabshitz. Rav Adam's short stay in Slutsk changed the attitude of its residents towards the Nistarim, although most of them had no idea who Rav Adam really was. Like many other forms of hatred and prejudice, the bitterness felt by the people of Slutsk towards the Nistarim, those who do not follow the same path as they did, came from their suspicion of things they did not know or recognize. Now that they had an opportunity to meet face to face with the guest, a Nistar who was a true genius in Torah, many of them realized that their hatred had been based on old fears that had nothing to do with reality. Rav Adam's powerful response to the Kanaim and his honest and open speech to them left a deep impression. Had he not described how he used to think like them before he matured, investigated, and realized that he had been mistaken? They understood that they too might be mistaken. Years passed. When Rav Baruch reached 60 years of age, he decided to introduce a change to his lifestyle. He looked back at all he had accomplished from the time he had moved to Smil until now, and was very pleased. His greatest achievement had been the opening of his yeshiva. Through his students, he had managed to introduce a new way of thinking into the town of Slutsk and the surrounding areas. Rav Baruch achieved the goal he had set for himself when he first moved near Slutsk. He remembered the way that the town's residents used to think and behave when he first arrived. At that time, the Nistarim and Mekubalim had been unable to set foot in the city without suffering terrible shame and abuse. Things are completely different now, thought Rav Baruch. While no one is able to say that the residents of Slutsk actually welcome Nistarim into their city, at least their attitude is far less bitter. The great change had a lot to do with his yeshiva students, who worked quietly and secretly with the residents of Slutsk to convince them to become followers of the ways of the Nistarim. Rav Baruch decided that the time had come to end his involvement in his business and instead to devote all his time and energy to learning Torah and serving Hashem. His business was very successful, and he would give it into the hands of his two sons, Yosef and Avraham, who had moved with their families to the city of Lemberg. Rav Baruch contacted them and asked them to return to his estate near Slutsk. Before turning his business over to his sons, Rav Baruch donated a huge amount of money to Rav Adam Baal Shem to do with it as he saw fit. He then took another large amount of money and divided it among the many institutions of Torah and Chesed in his area. As soon as his sons arrived and took over his business, Rav Baruch stopped working or being involved with earning money. From that point on, he spent all his time immersed in matters of Kedusha. He also spent a lot more time giving shiurim in his yeshiva. One day, a man appeared at the yeshiva. He appeared to be about 30 years old, and everything about him was mysterious. He kept his distance from everyone else in the yeshiva and did not speak much at all. At first, he would enter the hall during a shiur and listen quietly as Rav Baruch spoke. After a while, he began to discuss the shiurim with the other students. It soon became clear that he was in fact an outstanding Talmud Chacham and an absolute genius. Over time, he became very friendly with some of the students. The students often tried to discover who he was and where he came from. But the man steadfastly kept his identity a secret. At the same time, Rav Baruch was looking for a new Rosh Yeshiva, someone who could bring fresh life into the yeshiva. He realized that he was not young anymore and did not have the same strength as when he was younger. One day, an idea occurred to Rav Baruch. Perhaps he should appoint the mysterious man as the new Rosh Yeshiva. Still, it would be highly unusual to bestow such a position of responsibility upon a stranger who would not tell anyone his name. If you want me to accept the position, the man told Rebarach, and if you want me to put in all the effort required of a Rosh Yeshiva, then you will have to accept the fact that I do not want to say who I am. All that I agree to tell you is that my name is Aharon Yaakov. I ask you to promise not to pressure me to reveal anything more about myself, and also not to try to discover any information in other ways. Rebarach accepted these unusual conditions, and Reb Aharon Yaakov was immediately appointed as Rosh Yeshiva. He began that very day to give shiurim to the students. Reb Aharon Yaakov was blessed with great clarity of thought, and he gave wonderful and deep shiurim. However, he only gave classes to a select group of top students, while Rebarach continued to teach the other students. From time to time, Rebarach would sit on the side, listening to Reb Aharon Yaakov's shiurim and enjoying them immensely. The knowledge and brilliance of the new Rosh Yeshiva was very impressive. Nevertheless, Rebarach was not entirely happy. Deep in his heart, he worried. Perhaps Reb Aharon Yaakov was really a spy sent by the Misnagdim to find out what was going on in his yeshiva. Perhaps he is working for those who want to destroy the Nestarim and stop the learning of Kabbalah. On the other hand, Rebarach did not see anything wrong with the new Rosh Yeshiva. He did nothing to make Rebarach suspect that he was a seeker of Misnagid. But as much as he tried to push the thought out of his mind, it still worried him greatly. Then he had an idea. He would invite Reb Aharon Yaakov to learn with him. Together, they would learn the writings of the Rambam, which discuss matters of belief and general approach to all matters of life, emuna and hashkafa. While they are learning and discussing these matters, Rebarach would be able to determine what Reb Aharon Yaakov truly believed and how he felt about things having to do with the Nestarim and the Mekubalim. For the next few weeks, they sat together and studied Rambam. Rebarach was greatly impressed by Reb Aharon Yaakov's knowledge of the topics they were learning. Nevertheless, he still had no clear answer to the question that bothered him so deeply. One evening, Rebarach decided that, instead of trying to find the answer in a roundabout way, he would ask Reb Aharon Yaakov directly. "I have known you for a few months now," Rebarach began, "and I have come to respect your Torah knowledge and your deep and clear thinking." Reb Aharon Yaakov stared at Rebarach in interest. He narrowed his eyes in thought as he tried to work out what Rebarach was about to ask or say. "For that reason," Rebarach continued, "I am very curious to know your opinion on a topic that has divided the Jewish world. I am talking about the Nestarim and Mekubalim. What do you think about them? I am certain that such a deep and knowledgeable person such as yourself must have already made up his mind about such an important topic."